Hi there, welcome to the Neurodivergent Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Griffith, and I am so excited to have you here. On this podcast, we talk about all forms of neurodivergence, from ADHD to learning disorders to giftedness to autism and more. If any of that sounds familiar, welcome to Neurodivergent Magic.
Hello, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, and welcome back to another episode of the Neurodivergent Magic Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about my first real experience with something called EMDR. So if you haven't heard of that, don't worry. We're going to explain what it is. And we're going to talk a little bit about my experience. If you don't know, EMDR is a type of trauma therapy, so it's pretty personal. So I won't dig into everything, but I do want to give you all like a picture of what this can look like. And that way you can kind of decide if this is a therapy modality that you should explore. Okay, so first and foremost, what is EMDR? EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. So that's kind of a mouthful. Basically, the goal of EMDR is to help you reprocess your trauma through the lens of safety. And the way that it does this is through bilateral stimulation, through eye movement. Right? That's the first part of the EMDR. So basically, the whole idea is to get your eyes to move back and forth. That's like the physical part of it. This can look like some therapists have a light bar that a little light will move back and forth and your eyes just kind of follow it. Some therapists have like little vibrating things that you hold in your hands and they'll vibrate back and forth. What me and my therapist did, because we're virtual, it's really easy. You can kind of do it at home on your own, although I obviously do not take trauma therapy into your own hands. It should always be done with a professional. Trauma is serious stuff. But what we did was butterfly tapping. So it's basically when you cross your arms over your chest and you just tap on each of your shoulders back and forth, nice and slow. So I am not a neuroscientist or a therapist or any kind of mental health professional. I can't tell you why EMDR works. That's something I need to honestly do a lot more research on. All I know is that it tends to be a very effective form of trauma therapy. It involves the body, which is really important in trauma therapy. You know, we kind of used to just have trauma patients tell us about their trauma over and over, but something we're learning is that that can actually be re-traumatizing. It can actually make things worse. So what EMDR does is it involves the body, and then, so it's not just the eye movement. There's more to it than that. Once you've got the eye movement going on, you basically explore some aspect of your trauma and you're able to explore it through the lens of safety. You're able to look at it from where you are now and really ground yourself in this reality that, like, I'm not there anymore. And I want to sort of rewrite events as if I was there and able to take care of things. Does that make sense? I worry that this is not making sense. Let me give you an example from my first EMDR session. So I say it's my first EMDR session. I did technically have one other before this. It was about a year or two ago at this point, but it was so weird and so unhelpful. I think I maybe just wasn't in the headspace for it, or maybe the therapist wasn't super qualified with it. I don't know. It didn't go super well. It wasn't life-changing. Whereas this EMDR session I had yesterday, I don't know if I'd call it life-changing, but it definitely changed the trajectory of my day and probably the rest of my week, which I will take because I was in a pretty, pretty dark space before my therapy session. So anyway, let me give you sort of an example of what we did. So my trauma is primarily developmental, relational. No big catastrophic events, lots of little stuff. Okay. Lots and lots of little stuff that just piled up and was impossible for me to deal with and cope with as a child. So what we did is we identified, okay, how old approximately is this inner child who's feeling very wounded right now? Because we decided that a lot of the depression I'm currently experiencing is probably from some of my trauma. So my therapist asked me, you know, like, how old do you think your inner child is, the one who's hurting right now? And I was like, I guess my gut instinct says she's like 6. And my therapist was like, great, that's exactly what we want. Just go with the gut instinct. Don't overthink it. And I was like, I will try. So basically what we did is we pictured my inner child in a space, and then we pictured adult me entering that space and sitting with 6-year-old me and just having like a conversation, basically. And I know this might sound very like woo, but I'm telling you, this was so powerful for me. I learned things about my inner child. So inner child work, something you might not know, should involve just as much listening as it does talking, if not more listening, right? So a lot of people are like, this is what I would tell my inner child if I could. This is what I would go back and tell myself and save myself and all this stuff. And it's like, yes, that's important. And you also need to listen to your inner child. I mean, your inner child, especially if you have invalidation trauma, like I do, your inner child is very used to being dismissed and ignored. So if you just keep talking over them, like, you're probably exacerbating some of the trauma rather than healing it. So I've been trying to do inner child work for a long time, but I've been doing a lot of talking. And it was really helpful for me to listen, and really surprising. Like, I really learned a lot about what my inner child was feeling, what I felt back then, and what I needed, and what I need now. And it was just, I don't know how much detail to go into. I don't want to like leave you guys in suspense or something, but at the same time, it is very personal. But I will say this. So my inner child, I assumed she would be angry, because I'm angry, right, about my trauma. But my inner child wasn't angry at all. She was so innocent that she didn't even know to be angry. She was just so confused. And she knew she was hurt, but she didn't understand why. And she didn't understand, she just didn't get it, you know? She didn't understand why her best never seemed like enough for anybody. And she wasn't sure what anyone expected her to do. Like, what else can I do? I'm already trying my best. And I suppose this is what it means to get in touch with your inner child as compared to your inner teen, because my inner teen understands a little bit more, right? And is a little more angry, I would assume. But again, I probably need to do some listening in that department to find out. But I went back to an inner child who was so young that she did not yet realize that she was being hurt by someone, right? She was in the process of internalizing that and learning. What my inner child learned from my childhood was that these things were her fault, and she was inherently incorrect in some really fundamental ways. And it was really interesting to talk to her, because my instinct as the adult was to just rage against the people who had hurt her, right? Was to just tell her those people are stupid and they don't understand you and, you know, screw those guys, you know, all this stuff. But again, I listened and I realized that's not what 6-year-old me needed at all. That's what adult me needs sometimes, but that's not what 6-year-old me needed to hear at all. 6-year-old me felt so incorrect. She just needed somebody to look at her and say, they don't see the masterpiece that you are. They don't see it. And what a shame, honestly, what a shame. I see it, and I hope you see it. That's what my inner child needed to hear, and so that's what I told her. Oh, it was very emotional, you guys. I did a lot of crying. I'm not even sure how long I was doing the EMDR. It was a while, I think. The therapist honestly didn't even guide me through all that much of it. She guided me in. You know, she helped me figure out how old is your inner child? Where do you picture your inner child? How are you going to start this conversation with your inner child? Like, she guided me up to that point. And then she's like, okay, you're there. You're engaged. I want you to start the butterfly tapping and really just listen and talk and, you know, come out of it whenever you're ready. So yeah, then I sort of came out of the tapping and we talked a little bit, me and the therapist. And then she actually suggested, I told her, I was like, you know, I thought she was going to be angry and I'm angry. And she's like, well, if you're angry, like we should process some of those emotions. Like, why don't we tap a little more? And adult you can, you know, we'll soundproof the room that child you is in because she doesn't need to hear this. And then you can go talk to these people who are doing all the invalidating and the traumatizing. And you can, you know, whatever that conversation is going to look like. And so we went back into the tapping. I did some of that. It was very cathartic. and then after that, we kind of just talked. We did some debriefing, which I think is really important. I told my therapist a lot of what went on during the tapping, but I didn't feel obligated to tell her everything either. Like, so a big thing for me in therapy is I want to be the best therapy patient. I want to be the most self-aware, the most interesting, the most traumatized. Like, I want to be the teacher's pet. Okay. and it's a problem. It's a problem that has existed for me in therapy for a while, because guess what? Therapy is not about being teacher's pet. Therapy is about doing the inner work. And sometimes I get a little caught up in being likable to my therapist that I don't always do the work I need to be doing. So I actually really tried to tell her some stuff, but not feel like I have to tell her everything so that she knows what a smart, good girl I am, you know? So it was good. It was really good. And I think, how did we end things? Basically just we debriefed and then we went from there. So yeah, I don't know exactly how it ended. I was a little out of it because it was such an intense experience, to be honest. But, that was my first real experience with EMDR and it was really helpful. Something I do want to address is how EMDR differs from like traditional talk therapy. basically, traditional talk therapy, which I've done a lot of, is also very helpful, I think. Depends on the person, depends on the situation, but I think it can be really, really helpful and beneficial. But traditional talk therapy is less body focused. It's very brain focused. And for my over-intellectualizers out there, this can feel really good, but that doesn't mean we're getting the work done. Traditional talk therapy is much more focused on like, okay, what do you think about that? What are some of the thoughts that you're having around your trauma? And oh boy, do I have thoughts about my trauma. So I could do that for days, okay? That doesn't mean it's helping me heal it though. That's the problem that I think so many of us run into. This is the problem if you're listening and you're one of those people who's like, every therapist I've ever had tells me how self-aware I am and they ask me why I'm even in therapy. Like, it seems like I really understand what's going on and all this stuff. And it's like, I'm in therapy because I know what's going on and that's not making the pain go away. Like, you know, so this is what a lot of us run into with traditional talk therapy is we talk and talk and talk and talk and think and think and think and think, but we don't feel, right? Or we feel, but then we're so unaccustomed to feeling that we get very panicked and very stressed whenever we feel. And then we try to suppress the feelings, which only makes them stronger and last longer and only increases our distress. And yeah, it's just not always the most helpful strategy, I think. So EMDR, what it kind of does differently is it engages your body and it encourages feelings of safety At least that's been my experience. The butterfly tapping, I love the butterfly tapping because it basically feels like I'm giving myself a hug. Like, plus I'm doing the tapping, you know, which is the bilateral stimulation. So again, I don't totally know what that does, but I'm sure it's helpful in some way. But the butterfly, the crisscrossed arms, it feels like a hug. And I do actually, at least in this first experience, I can't speak for what it's going to be like in the future, but in this first experience, I did feel very safe about 90% of the time I was there. There were one or two moments where I was like, I'm feeling a little nervous. I don't know. I know this is all in my head, but I still feel a little nervous and a little threatened. So that did pop up. I don't want to like pretend it was all hunky-dory, but generally speaking, I was talking to six-year-old me and we were delving into some heavy feelings and I felt safe the whole time. You know, that is huge for me. Usually when I try to address my trauma, even if it's just like through journaling, I feel very intense feelings of like guilt and shame. Like, your trauma is not even that bad. It's probably not even real. You're probably making it up for attention. You're so stupid. Lots of reactionary, reactive thoughts that are not helpful. They are deflecting from the pain of the trauma is what they're doing. And I feel like EMDR, what it kind of did was say, no, you're in a safe space to look at this. And we're just going to look. And if it gets to be too much, we can always back out. And you're okay the way that you are. And that, coming at my trauma from that angle, as opposed to like, this is a problem I need to fix. Like, they're very different perspectives. And I feel like a lot of traditional talk therapy, especially cognitive behavioral therapy, which I am warming up to a little bit. I know I have badmouthed it in the past, but my current therapist does a lot of CBT and I have actually enjoyed it. So I might eat my words a little bit, but you know, she does a very trauma-informed version of CBT to be, you know, to her credit. And a lot of therapists don't. but anyway, I just have really appreciated the EMDR for its ability to engage my body, engage my feelings, and engage my sense of safety. All right, well, I think that's just about everything I have about my first EMDR session. I hope this is what you all were looking for. I hope it's helpful. So usually at the end of these episodes, I'm like, oh, and if you want to work with me, like, do it this way. But I cannot do EMDR therapy because I am not a therapist, so I cannot provide that. So instead, what I'm going to give you at the end of this episode is some resources for where you can find EMDR therapists in your area. So first, of course, there's psychologytoday.com. You can go there, you can filter by type of therapy, so you can click EMDR, and you can also filter by your insurance, which is really helpful, I think. Another website you can use is EMDRIA. I believe that stands for EMDR International Association. And so these are therapists who are certified through the EMDRIA. And you can find a therapist in your area that way. I'm not sure if you're able to filter by insurance type on that site. You might be able to. I just don't remember. So all of those links will be in the show notes. And I hope that this episode was helpful. And if you have any questions about EMDR, please reach out to me on Instagram. My Instagram is @neurodivergent_magic. Just send me a DM. I'm super happy to answer questions that I'm comfortable answering. And if anything you ask is too personal, I promise there's no hard feelings. I'll just tell you, hey, that's personal. No big deal. So yeah, reach out if you have questions. Good luck finding an EMDR therapist if this is something you're interested in. And I will talk to you all next Saturday.
As always, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you give us a follow over on Spotify, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts, and tune in next Saturday for another amazing episode.